Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Education Talk Radio, all part of our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs, and thanks for being with us for this podcast. We do appreciate it. I met a wonderful lady named Dr. Alicia Mobley, and Alicia is the Director of Special Education for the district in Richfield, Minnesota, and we had a nice chat on an AASA symposium on equity and younger kids and all that sort of thing. And after the conversation, which she was so articulate and wonderful, I asked her if she'd come on the show, and she agreed. So we're going to do that show today. And Alicia, I'll bring you on in just about 2 seconds. I just want to tell everybody we've changed a couple of things. We now archive every show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And the podcasts are part of that. We felt that they should all be over in the same place. You can go over there. If you click on the podcast link, starting tomorrow, you'll see this one. But already, so many podcasts are over there right now. So please just go over there. Check it out. It's where we keep the archives now, etc. ace-ed.org. Also, we have our brand new issue of our wonderful online journal over there called the Equity and Access. If you go over to ace-ed.org, I'll keep repeating that till you do it. If you go over to ace-ed.org, see a big green line outline box that says read the current issue. Just click right on those words and it'll take you right through to the magazine. And it is an excellent issue. It's our Champions of Equity issue. We honored 8 great educators in there. This issue was so popular, we're going to do it in a few more issues to come. So please, it's a Champions of Equity issue of Equity and Access magazine at ace-ed.org. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's still at EduTalk Radio, of course, but it's also at Access2 Equity ED. LinkedIn is my name, Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook it's my name, which is still Larry Jacobs, and also over at Education Talk Radio. Okay, without further ado, she's so kind to call in so early in the day. It's spinning. There she is. Alicia, welcome. It's Larry.
Hello, Larry.
How you doing, my friend?
Well, it's been, the weather's been pretty good to us up here in Minnesota. And today, it's feeling like a Minnesota day for sure.
It's feeling, say that again, it's feeling like what?
A Minnesota day for sure.
Really, that's good news for me because I live in Maine. That means that weather is coming this way. Okay, so I don't really want to hear that. Yesterday we got what you didn't get. We got soaked from a storm down south that came up here and just dumped rain like you couldn't believe. But it's warm out today. Okay, so it's really, really kind of interesting. Hey, I'm so glad we could get this together today, and it's really good. Let me tell everybody a little bit about you. You're Special Education Director for Richfield Public Schools in magnificent Richfield, Minnesota. Okay, I didn't realize this. You were an OT, okay, occupational therapist and a resource. Wow, there you go. I didn't know that. Graduate good old Florida A&M, Florida A&M, and the University of Minnesota. You must like weather extremes, Alicia. Florida and then Minnesota, you know, really. Okay, we got to talk to you about that, okay? And it's great. Yeah, your job is fairly new. How's it going so far, Madam Director?
Oh, Larry. Oh, thank you so much. It's going well. I started in the summer, and I will tell you, as many leaders will tell you, and especially administrators during this time, you know, there are things that we're having to do now that we've never had to do before.
Oh,
and so
God. You
kind of add on to that, Larry, the fact that you're new. And so there are many opportunities in this for sure. And so, of course, I took full advantage of it, and it's going really well. I am with an amazing team led by an amazing superintendent, Dr. Yanowski, and amazing board as well. So
that's just wonderful. Of course, it's COVID times, pandemic times. Everything's nuts out there. We're all doing the best we can. And I think I said this to you before, Alicia. All special ed teachers go to heaven. You do know that. I'm going to repeat that. Okay. So you're probably, and you're a special ed director. You may be calling from heaven. You don't have to commute anymore. You just use wings. There you go. Okay. I don't want you to die. Don't misunderstand that. I'm just thinking of a perfect place to live. You are going to heaven. It's amazing. You know, I must ask you, and it's a sad subject, but we have to talk about it. Okay. You're from Minnesota. The people I talk to are from all over the country. Okay, and of course George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, all right, and you know, everybody watched that, and it hit home. The whole country knows about it. It hit home across, if not the world, certainly the country. But it, where you are, it is home. Okay, and you know, that must have affected the kids. You know, tell us about Richfield. Where is it in relation to Minneapolis? What's the demographics of that staff? And how is the George Floyd thing, which again affects everybody, affecting so close to home?
For sure, Larry. I had a lot of folks call me during during the tragic time when George Floyd was murdered, and Minneapolis is not far at all. People say a stone's throw. So we are one of the first ring suburbs. We're right next to Minneapolis. We're right next to Bloomington. We're right in the middle of everything. And so it definitely impacted, as you know, many people. And I'll speak to my personal local immediate. You know, I have folks from all around the world call me, and they would say, Alicia, what is going on? Alicia, are you in the streets? Alicia, what are you protesting? What is happening there? And I will tell you, you know, just heartbroken. And one of our one of our administrators in Richfield at the time was there was a gathering where of support, and folks probably didn't see this clip that much, but there was a truck that kind of went through a crowd, and no one got
I saw that. I saw that. I remember
and,
it. Yeah.
He was on that bridge, and he was able to share with us in one of our, you know, admin meetings kind of how he felt and how it impacted him. And I think, you know, it impacted all of us in a different way. In my personal, back to my personal, local, and immediate, it's just, you know, it's real and it's raw, and I was out there, and I was definitely showing support. I was out there with community, and it was a time. One of my pastors at the time led a interfaith march, a silent march, and so just being able to be part of that with thousands of other people and to see where his life ended, it's something you just you'll never be able to fully describe.
And I have to tell you what you're saying, and I forgot about this till you brought it up. Okay. When it's not the same story, but it's the same type of thing. When we had the Marathon bombing, okay, in Boston, all right, I lived right outside of Boston, all right, and of course they caught those bastards in Watertown, and there was a shootout and all that sort of stuff, okay, and we watched that, and we knew every place they were. You're watching the news, but you can't believe it's happening, so to speak, in your backyard. And that is one of the most disturbing feelings you can have. And believe me, so I appreciate everything you just said. When, you know, it's bad enough to watch the man get killed and watch a truck go through trying to hit all those people. But when it's happening right near you and you're watching it on TV, I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable, that feeling. And to this day, they made a movie of that Boston Marathon Church for the Search for the Killers, and it's called Patriots Day. And when I watched that movie with Mark Wahlberg, I had the same exact feelings as I did the night I watched it live on TV. I was just so angry and disturbed. And when you see all these things, you know, coming out of it, you know, when we're adults, Alicia, how's it affecting kids? I mean, what are you hearing from teachers and all that? I mean, you were right in the heart of it, and it's still going on. What are you hearing?
Well, Larry, there's so many things, and I would challenge folks right now to take some of those feelings and some of the healing and also some of the conversations that opened up, particularly with our teachers and our scholars, and continue them forward.
Are you referring to the kids as scholars?
I am. Yes.
Good
yes.
girl. I love it. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
That's
so,
great.
So I will tell you, particularly with the scholars that I've worked with across many different districts and in Richfield, our scholars are sometimes they sometimes are baffled by the adults not being able to share and express how we feel.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes feeling limited. And so I am so grateful for this generation that's coming up. And I have teenage daughters as well that are like, hey, we are going to use our voice in multiple different ways. And so we were able to see scholars who were, you know, writing poems and out in the streets marching and protesting, all of the different things and connecting it back to learning. Right, to say, hey, let's talk about this in our classrooms. And so I saw an equal amount of educators also rise to that as well, even in the midst of the pandemic. And one of the most powerful things is being able to bring voice to something that folks are still trying to figure out. And so in those classrooms where, you know, maybe, and even for younger kids, the morning meeting might have been, you know, something a little bit lighter. You know, I saw and experienced firsthand, you know, the ability of that social emotional learning come to play in classrooms and scholars being able to have safe spaces. I have a colleague, Christina Gonzalez, who always talks about safe and brave spaces and to create, if they weren't already there, those as well. So,
you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, I love what you said before, because the way kids and adults react are so differently. The kids are surprised how adults react. We're a little more constrained than kids, probably a little less emotional, if I may, which is not necessarily good. It's just we're adults, so what can I tell you? Okay. But going back to the scholars, what you call the scholars, I'm going to call them that too, you have to deal with the kids who have special needs. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they learn differently. They're neurodiverse. I'll use all those phrasing. How did they, as you talk to your special ed teachers, was there a difference, or maybe just the regular mainstream teachers and their work with the special ed kids, did they see a difference in the way were there special challenges that came up with special ed in light of all this? And then we're going to talk about the impact of COVID, but let's just talk about this equity and the closeness of George Floyd to all this.
Right. I will say this for sure. I think I know and believe, rather than I think, communication comes in all forms. And so as educators, and I believe one of the value of the benefits of being a special educator, as you mentioned before, that we all go to heaven.
They do, and you're going.
Being able to recognize that communication takes different forms. And so, you know, for the scholars who might not have been super verbal or are nonverbal, right, like behavior is a form of communication. Mm-hmm. Nonverbal communication is just as important as is verbal communication. And so I appreciate and value the fact that not only do teachers say, and not just here in Richfield, but all over, especially in Minnesota, say we need to talk to our scholars. We also need to differentiate so our scholars can talk to us in the ways that works best for them. And I think that's where you truly get that space where you have those powerful conversations.
And I have to ask this, did you see a real difference between the response, and I assume you did, of African-American kids and non-African-American kids, or maybe I'll say people of color and non-people of color, however you want to do that. Did you see a difference? I mean, my reaction, I'm an adult again, you know, was visceral when I saw the thing with Mr. Floyd. But and a lot of people had that same reaction. But I'm not African-American, and I know there's a different way the colloquial you look at it, okay, even though you are African-American. Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk to me about that. What do you see in the kids when we talk about race with that?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, one of the beauties of being a person of color, and for me, an Afro-Latina, is...
There you go.
Is the beauty of knowing that there's a beauty in the diversity and range of existence. And so while I can't say with 100% certainty that every scholar that I know who is African-American reacted a certain way, I can say that the scholars that I talked to did mention the fact that, hey, you know what, George Floyd was murdered, and then not too long ago, Philando Castile,
right,
in Minnesota. So that's not the first time that we've seen that. So this was the second processing wave, and many others. And then in addition, you know, we also had Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. So there were many different instances that kind of led up to this day in May. And so when I talked to scholars, including my own, it was more of, oh, my goodness, like how much more? And that wasn't exclusive just to our scholars who are African-American at all. I think what we saw nationwide,
absolutely,
saying, okay, enough is enough. And I think when we look at what scholars, how they act and what it looks like, I think everyone had a different reaction. And it took those educators, right, not just the teachers, but our paras who work with our scholars, our social workers, all of the folks who had built relationships to say, hey, what's going on? Let's talk through it. Because it's harder to talk through something like that with someone you don't have a relationship with, right? It's not a
sure
place.
Is. And you mentioned, I have to ask you this, Philando Castile, was he the guy who was in the car with his girlfriend? Am I thinking of the right guy?
What folks don't know is he spent a lot of time, one of his jobs was in a school district, and he worked in the cafeteria. And so a lot of scholars knew him personally and saw his smile every single day. So it was a different impact, obviously, for the scholars who went through and saw him every day and had nothing but great things to say about how they brightened their day. And so, like I said, I think it hit all of us in a different way and in a way that you saw nationwide.
Yes, we did. And I hope we don't see it again. And you said, well, enough is enough. When will it be enough? Okay, so let's move off this, okay, and talk about COVID. All right. You've got the problem. If we had schools in session, everything was great, we would still have the George Floyd situation. Okay, and all the other names. I don't mean to make light of those, all the other names that you mentioned, Breonna Taylor, et cetera. Okay? And it goes way, way back. Let's just take it back to Emmett Till and go, that's 70 years, so let's go there. Okay. But now you've got COVID. All right. How's all this playing out with the teachers, especially, again, special ed? They're not touchy-feely with the kids as much as they like to be. Let me say it that way. What's going on with that? Put it all together.
Yeah, so in Richfield specifically, when I started, Larry, we were moving into extended school year, which is the equivalent or similar to summer school for scholars with disabilities. And the reason that the scholars are in ESY is because we want to make sure that they have everything they need to start the next school year, or where they are in a place of from academic success. So I started there, and we actually had scholars who were in person in the building.
Good.
So one of the first things that happened was in a hybrid model. So we had some scholars online and some scholars in person. And so one of the first things that happened was, instead of kind of doing the traditional, you know, I know we got a plan, we have to get make sure food's available. You know, we talked about, especially when I came in, how do we support the social emotional needs of scholars right now? So what if we see something, or what if we recognize something? What if our scholars can't tell us with their words, but with their actions? How do we support scholars there? And we had an amazing team, Larry, amazing team. And I was there almost every day as well. And we supported scholars in the best way we knew how, right? With masks, right? With cleaning down desks, all of these pieces. Yeah. And the teachers and the parents did amazing work to build a community in the midst of something that was unfamiliar.
unfamiliar, to say the least. I have to ask, I have to ask this. You said this was over the summer. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
But most teachers, I wrote this down. Most teachers don't teach summer school. They take summer off. Okay, they have summer off. Okay, but I have a feeling, and I wanted to ask you this: were they regular? We'll use special ed as the example. Did all the special ed teachers participate in the summer programs, or how did that work? How'd you staff up for those in light of all this?
Right. So the staffing is based on the needs of the scholars. So we looked at how many scholars were coming, and then we staffed based on that. And so the conversations that need to happen were, okay, so in the midst of COVID, you know, do we have less scholars in the classroom so we could make sure that we have appropriate measures in place? How do we clean the classroom? How do we go over rituals and routines? And so it wasn't all, Larry. It was a group of teachers who said, we're coming in and we're going to do this and we're going to make this experience great for all of our students.
Well,
we use that to really launch the fall this year.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing, right? How everybody just made it happen. And what are you hearing, Alicia? Again, you're director of special ed for the Richfield, Minnesota Public Schools. Okay, you know that. I'm just reminding the audience of that. Okay, but what are you hearing from parents? Again, you had special ed parents in particular.
For sure. And this actually is right on time because, you know, as a new director coming in, building relationships, it's hard to do it when you're not in person, right? And so we would usually have parent meetings in person. I would usually be in buildings and, you know, in classrooms. I'm a very hands-on person. And so that all had to shift just a little bit. But to your question, one of the roles that I play is making sure that we have a special ed advisory committee. And all districts in our state have to do that. And so we ask parents, how do we do this better? How do we work together? And I'm going to tell you what they told me. First, they said, you know what? We have some learning to do as well.
Yeah.
And we need more communication. We need to can you please make sure, Dr. Mobley, that when you're sending out communications that we also, you know, get a chance to kind of decipher, not decipher, but one of the parents said, I just got to decipher the code and figure out how does this work for my kid here. So that was one. And then the other thing is, you know, we have all these platforms now. We use Seesaw, we use Schoology, Google Meets, whatever platform. They're like, can you just make sure that we have access to how to navigate that at home? And so I will tell you, it hasn't been the easiest thing, but we are figuring out and problem solving and trying the best that we can. We are now all distance learning. And so we had to quickly pivot to that as well.
So nobody's in school right now, right? Everybody's in education, but not physically in the school. And by the way, I owe you an apology the way you just said your name. I've been pronouncing your last name Mobley. Okay, it's Mobley, just like it sounds.
Yes.
It's Mobley, right?
Alicia Mobley, yep.
Alicia Mobley. So I've been using my Philly accent. It's Alicia Mobley. Okay, I'm totally wrong. Okay, it's Alicia Mobley, okay? Just like it looks. All right, so thank you, Alicia. Okay, that's my Philly accent popping out, all that sort of stuff. Okay, you're a Mobley, not a Mobley. Okay, that's cracked me up. You know, what the hell is the equity situation regarding distance learning? And I don't know that much about Richfield, but obviously every kid needs to be connected. Every family needs broadband. Kids need a device, however you want to define that. What are you finding? Okay, does everybody have the device they need and the broadband they need to do the work they need with, again, kids who learn differently? They have special needs. That's why it's special ed. What are you finding on that side? Dr. Mobley.
That is definitely something that you have to include in your equity conversations. You know, we have a very amazing team and we're led by Dr. Clarkson and Dr. Daniels. And one of the things they said is we got to talk about aligned contributions. I mean, we had to read the theory. They went into detail. And it basically says this: we need to make sure that our actions and our words and everything that we're doing is aligned because our families and our scholars need it. And so one of the things was to say, okay, so who is not logging in? How do we figure out how to make sure that access is there? For some families, it was they don't have internet, right? We're also talking about the pandemic where some of the things that happen, Larry, are you may have less hours or lose your job. And so it's like, okay, so who – so we purchase hotspots for them. And then the other piece is, you know, why for the scholars who just weren't logging on, there were some home visits that were done.
Yeah, that's huge.
For the scholars who were on and still dealing with pandemic, plus everything going on with George Floyd and just the election. Yeah. I mean, we had a whole bunch of stuff happening. We also, the psychology team and the social work team here in Ridgefield, they put together social emotional lessons. And so every single time folks, scholars logged on, they were able to access, you know, those lessons that talk about not only how you feel, but what does it look like? And then what supports do you need? And so it really was a team effort.
Great.
We have a special ed lead here in Ridgefield. Every building has a special ed lead, and they kind of, not kind of, they really run the department. And so the leads were saying, Alicia, this is what this building needs. Okay, we need this here. We have to do this better. We have to go out to the house. We have to figure out transportation. And so it really is about figuring out and not waiting for families to come to you.
It's a good point. Great point. Not waiting. Not waiting. Are you there, Alicia?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I thought something happened for a second. By the way, as you were talking, you said some people didn't log in. Okay. Did you remember you said that? And I was thinking to myself, that's the same mistake I made. It's log in, but the same letters, it's a logo. Log in and logo. That's why I went Mobley, not Mobley. I just wanted to explain that.
Right.
Same damn
it's
letters.
How to find access. Yeah. Yes, log in.
How to phonetically
like
do it.
The class. It's all right.
Log in is the same as logo.
Larry, I'm an Army brat, so I lived in Jersey for a while. I understand your accent. I'm good.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate that. Okay? This is a Mobley, not a Mobley, everybody. Okay? A Mobley. All right? And, you know, I have to – and then you said something that struck me. I know that there were kids who never checked back to school, okay, all over the country. Okay? In fact, 60 Minutes just did a thing on that a couple of weeks ago. But and they used Tampa as the example, but – I'm curious, with special ed, did you have kids who didn't log in and they're special education students? I hadn't thought about that.
We did, and that's why we went through the efforts that we used. And really, it's figuring out, once again, the why. And so I would have folks say, okay, so we can't get a hold of families. We can't get a hold of the scholar because, you know, in special ed, we make sure that scholars – have the continuum up to the age of 21. So we're not just talking about our pre-K and ECSE, we're talking about our adults as well. And so what we did and what we're continuing to do is go, okay, so how do we make sure that we know who it is that is not logging in? How do we make sure they reach out to them? And once again, we're not waiting for them to reach out to us. And so
that's
we had a list of scholars. We had a list of scholars. And we went, okay, who's on the list? And we're continuing to look at that list every 2 weeks to say, who's on the list? What can we done? What can be done? What have we done? And then if it's not working, what are some other strategies we can try? I will tell you this, Larry.
Yes.
I will tell you this. There were scholars who didn't come to school in the regular school, right, and who were disengaged there. And so it is up to us to make sure that disengagement does not continue in this model. And it is hard. And
I know.
We have also found, Larry, that some of the scholars who were disengaged in the traditional school model are thriving in the online model.
Wow.
And so
that's
how do we really talk about what does equity mean in that situation? Look at
talk
the
about learning
there.
A lesson. Well, that's saying something right there, okay? That this is working better for some kids than it did. Well, you know, it's just so amazing. And I think that last point you made just summed it up. Okay, we have to learn from this. Okay, we learn where our mistakes are. We learn who's not being covered. And we learn what's working now that wasn't before. And if we take all the things out of this mess of a year, George Floyd and the pandemic and the craziness of the election, okay, and turn it into something good. We've got something good to work on here. Right, Dr. Mobley?
That is correct. And I will also add, when you ask scholars the questions, they will tell you.
You don't need me and you. We're old. We don't need us. You need the kids. That's all there is to it. They will tell you.
Yes,
so ask the questions.
They'll tell you. Hey, I'm doing better because I don't have to. I don't have to navigate some of the stuff I have to navigate
in person.
I'm not doing well because I need someone. You know. So.
It's great stuff, Alicia. We gotta go. I can't thank you enough, my new friend. Okay, we'll do more. Okay, and I think I sent you the new copy of the magazine. So I think I sent it to you, and you should have it there. If not, I'll make sure you do. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That, everybody, and I'm going to pronounce this right, is Dr. Alicia Mobley. There you go, Alicia. Okay. Not Alicia Mobley, like I said at the beginning. Okay. Who's the special ed director at Richfield, Minnesota Public Schools. She's terrific. She's new. And boy, does she bring some great ideas and thoughts to the district in this nutsy year. Thanks, Alicia. We're going to archive the show. Please check it out over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, part of ace-ed.org, our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Thanks for listening.